we started a new series, a six-week series called Formation for the Mission. We said something simple and something profound. You are being formed. We are being formed, knowingly or not. Right now, every day, we are being formed by our habits forming us. Your pace of life is forming you. Your relationships forming you. The media diet that we keep is forming you, from doom scrolling to watching the news to mindless engagement with TV late into the night. Formation is happening whether we realize it or not, and that raises a deeper question. If we are being formed, what story is forming us? Every people in every culture that ever lived has lived inside of a story. And the story that we live inside of determines the life we live. So the question is not whether or not we are being formed. The question is, who or what is forming you? And over the next 5 weeks, the remainder of this series, we're going to talk about five disciplines that shape us and form us into the kind of people that God has called us to be. Scripture shapes imagination. Prayer shapes attention. Fasting shapes desire. Listening shapes obedience. Mission is the fruit. These are the things we'll focus on. John Tyson put it this way: these practices are meant to disrupt the cultural formation of the world that we live in and shape us into being revivalists at heart, each and every one of us. And the big idea behind all of this is simple. The practices of Jesus form the people of Jesus for the mission of Jesus. Say that with me. The practices of Jesus form the people of Jesus for the mission of Jesus. This morning we begin with the first practice. Scripture shapes imagination. And the scripture that Michael just read describes the person whose life is formed by scripture. They take great delight in God's word and they meditate on it day and night repeatedly. And the psalmist is talking about the blessed life. And he makes clear the one who God blesses does not compromise or yield to temptation, does not rebel against or depart from God, and does not stubbornly scorn the way of God or ridicule those who walk in it. It's almost as if the psalmist is making his case, piling it on to show us that it is progressive. Sin is progressive. The one who begins by listening to bad counsel may soon find themselves doing evil, and before long, drifting further and further away from God. But the one whose life is formed on Scripture takes great delight in it, because Scripture is like a precious jewel, guarded carefully and contemplated continually, day and night. The one who God blesses reflects on God's word, meditating on it. That word, meditating, doesn't quite capture what the psalmist had in mind. The Hebrew word carries the idea of reading in an undertone, murmuring, muttering, quietly speaking the words to oneself. Sometimes very early in the morning, I find myself reading scripture like that, because everyone else in my house is asleep, but also because I want to chew on it. And so I'm reading out loud, softly, not proclaiming, not preaching, just barely audible, a low murmur. And the imagery behind this word is deeply embodied. A dove does not coo without detachment. That sound rises from deep within its being. A lion's growl isn't intellectual. It's visceral. something rooted in that lion's very nature. Biblical meditation works the same way. It engages the whole person, mind, body, mouth, breath. Information informs you. Meditation forms you. And this is what the Apostle Paul was talking about last week when we were in Romans 12, 1 and 2, the being transformed by the renewing of your mind. When Scripture is meditated like this, something begins to happen. The Word of God begins to move from head to heart, begins to sink into the deepest places of our lives. Over time, it shapes how we see everything. This is why Scripture is useful for everything. Paul wrote in his second letter to Timothy, "All Scripture is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, because the Word of God does not merely inform, it performs. It carries within it the power to accomplish what God intends." The person who meditates on Scripture doesn't merely know truth intellectually. They become the kind of person whose resistance to the patterns of this world flows naturally from the convictions that have been formed deep within. When we engage Scripture like this, it begins to rewire how we see reality. Psalm 1 and Romans 12 are talking about the same person. Do not be conformed, but be transformed. Meditate on this word. They're talking about the one who is like a tree planted by streams of water, a tree that yields its fruit in season and out, a tree whose leaf does not wither. The prophet Jeremiah echoed the same image when he writes, "That tree does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit." Psalm 1 says, "Whatever they do prospers." And he's not talking economic prosperity, social, capital, physical well-being. Maybe those things. He is talking about a spiritually fruitful life, a life that participates with what God is doing in the world. Scripture shapes our imagination so that we may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And I know we understand every good work, the work that God is doing in the world, and he is inviting us to join him in. This scripture is not self-actualization. It's not, you can do whatever you set your mind to. It's not, all your hopes and dreams will come true. It is God actualization, because it is God who will carry out his mission in and through us and all the places that you and I are uniquely positioned in our going day in, day out, week in, week out, in all times, all places, always. When Scripture shapes our imagination in that way, we begin to see the world the way God sees it. And when we see the world the way God sees it, we begin to live our lives the way God intends us to live. All in. Formation is never the goal in and of itself. Formation prepares us for the mission. And you have a mission. Every one of us has a mission. Recently, NASA carried out a successful mission called Artemis, sending astronauts around the moon and back. And what's fascinating about that mission isn't just the rocket. It's not all of the technology. What's fascinating about that mission is the training. Before an astronaut ever climbs into that space capsule, they spend years preparing. We're talking years. They train in simulators that recreate the cockpit down to the smallest detail. They practice launch sequence, orbital maneuvers, docking procedures, emergency protocols. They train underwater to simulate working in zero-less gravity situation. They rehearse the same procedures again and again and again ad nauseum until they can execute these things without hesitation. Every button, every system, every checklist. They train for good scenarios, bad scenarios, even unexpected ones. And here's the thing. The goal of all of that training is not the training. The goal of all of that training is the mission. The astronauts are not preparing to just sit in simulators for the rest of their lives. They are preparing to fly, to actually leave the ground, to go somewhere and accomplish something that really matters. Now, imagine going through all of that training. Years of preparation, thousands of hours in simulators, every procedure memorized, every system understood. You know that spacecraft inside and out, the manuals forward and backwards, can walk through every part of the launch sequence and never get in the rocket? You might think, Houston, we have a problem because something is wrong with that picture. Training only matters if it leads to the mission. Preparation only makes sense if it leads to us actually participating with God and what He's doing in this world. And in so many ways, that's the danger of our Western Christian idealism. I mean, we spend years learning scripture, consuming content, practicing spiritual disciplines, sitting in church week after week, checking the box. But if all of that formation never leads to participation in the mission of God, something is off. Because the goal of all the formation is not simply knowledge. It is participating with God in what He's doing in this world. And you know He is doing something, has always been up to something. The goal of formation is not simply knowledge. It is a fruitful life, the kind of life that God is talking about in Psalm 1, a tree planted by streams of water. God forms us for fruitful participation in what He is doing. And all the places that we go this afternoon and tomorrow morning, and one of the primary ways God forms a people is through His word and our engagement in it. I have a friend named Mark who, when he was in college, spent a summer in Africa. He was being discipled and he was sharing the gospel, doing discipleship as well. And he told a story about being there in Africa. One of his mentors named Chris every morning would ask Mark if he could look at his Bible, and Chris would take his Bible and he would thumb through it, Old Testament, look at the notes and the maps and back, New Testament, almost like he would treasure it, and then he would hand it back and say nothing. And one morning my friend Mark asked Chris if he could see his Bible, and so they swapped, and Mark had Chris's red New Testament, tattered and worn, and he's looking through Matthew and he sees all of Matthew is underlined. And Mark asked Chris, "Are those your favorite verses?" And Chris said, "No, they're the ones I have memorized. One day I'm going to give this Bible away, and I want to rememorize what's in it." Talk about a life that is shaped and formed by Scripture in such a way that it shapes his imagination. It shapes how he sees the world and familiarizes him with what God is doing in people's lives so that he can respond in a moment's notice. He didn't just read his Bible. The Bible had been clearly written into him. And Chris had a life that was formed because of it. That's the kind of life that Psalm 1 is describing. a life so saturated with Scripture that it shapes how we see everything. Psalm 1 describes that type of person whose life is rooted in Scripture, a person who delights in Scripture, a person who meditates on Scripture day and night, and over time, that person becomes like a tree planted by streams of living water, rooted, stable, fruitful. And you know that living water flows forth from within them. This kind of life doesn't happen by accident. It happens when we intentionally give ourselves to the Word of God and allow it to shape our imagination. And so I want to speak into the room for a moment, because I know that in the room there are people who are living in the context of some heavy circumstance. And maybe it's grief or depression, despair, anxiety, fill in the blank. God sees you. And I'm not going to sit up here and tell you, you need to read your Bible more. But I want to join you. We want to journey together and take the next faithful step we know to take. And we won't go from 0 to 60 overnight, but maybe some of these things we will be able to give ourselves to. And that's where we're at. So if you're a young person in the room, I want to invite you to start reading your Bible every night. And when I was your age, maybe third grade, I started reading my Bible, started out in Leviticus. I don't know why. I've got one word for you: boring. And when I was in seventh grade, someone came into my life that changed everything and taught me the importance of this book, to know the story and the stories of Jesus. And so I started reading John, the Gospel of John. And then I read it again, and then I read it again, and God began to shape something in me. And maybe you start reading the sections that are defined by heading. Maybe you start reading chapter a night. But young people, you're not too young to start. Keep that book, this book, by your bed and read it every night and let it shape who you are. To everyone in the room, I want to encourage you to bring your Bible with you to church. I mean, I read my Bible most of the time from my phone, sometimes from this book. But when we gather, let's be a people of one book, reading from this book. This book, bring it with you. And if you need one, we have them. But you talk about the faith formation of our children, they see us doing this all the time. How about they see us bringing this to church, where we encounter the living God and He begins to shape us because of the stories that we are engaging in? I want to challenge you in that. I want to challenge the room to engage in Scripture meditation, not just reading for content's sake, consuming it, or what other people are saying. I commend this resource to you that we have across the hall. It's a 40-day spiritual journey that the discipleship team has put together. And what I love about this resource, there are ancient and apostolic prayers of the church. There are lines for you to write your gratitudes. There's Scripture for us to chew on and creative ways for us to do that. And then lines for us to journal about how God is speaking. Not John David Walt. I love him. How God is speaking. What God might be saying to you. And write a prayer inspired by the Word. You talk about learning how to pray and living a life shaped and formed by Scripture. If we run out of these, we can print some more. I want to encourage you to, secondly, remember Scripture. Memorize Scripture. And let's start with the Scriptures we've given ourselves these last 2 weeks. Romans 12, 1 and 2, Psalms 1, 1 and 3, 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. And there's a way that I've started to memorize scripture called the Gloobish Method, inspired by my friend Jared Davis, where I've taken those verses and just written them out by first letter of every word only. And as I look at it, it jogs my memory for what it says. And over time, I'm hiding that word in my heart, and it is sinking in and shaping everything. Text the word core to the number 90382, and I'll send you screenshots of these three verses and just the first letter only. And I know it's probably even better if you do it yourself, but I'm going to send them either way. Core, C-O-R-E, 90382. Finally, if you're looking for a way to get in some extended scripture reading, we have a conviction. We want to know the story of God and the stories of God, the story of Christ, the stories of Christ, and are always providing easy on-ramps for people to read scripture, the Bible in a year, the Gospels in 90 days, the Psalms every month. And we do that in community. And you can find these reading plans to read them on your electronic device in community on our website. And it's beautiful to see what's meaningful to each other day in and day out. And if you join these groups today, just pick up with where we are today. We're in 2 Kings. Don't worry about, let me catch up, because it's a lot to catch up on. And you know what's going to happen when we finish? We're going to start over, because that's the rhythm that we keep. Knowing the story of God, the stories of God, the Bible in a year, Gospels in 90 days, Psalms once a month. We'll send that link to you as well for you to jump in on. Here's the thing. When Scripture shapes and forms our imagination, we begin to see this world the way God sees the world. When we see this world the way God sees the world, we start to live the way God intends for us to live. And He is working around us, inviting us to join Him in that work, the faithful presence of His love, fruitful participation in all the places that we go day in and day out. And the whole point of this sermon and this series, Core Worship, Marvin Methodist Church, I just want to remind you who we are. Yes. That's who you are. This is what it means to claim the name Christ and have His presence living inside of you. Let's quit playing games and let's quit dabbling. This is not a smorgasbord. Let's jump in full steam ahead. Lord, this is our prayer. This is our prayer that You wake us up, that You move us to respond. Father, shape our imagination for what is and what can be. Period. End of story. Come, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.